Hey guys, so this is a topic about finding work abroad. Now, this is something that I've been asked so many times because, funny enough, people think that I just travel and I don't work. And no, I haven't won the lotto. I actually do work as I travel. So I've had many, many, many jobs over the last 12 years. And I'm going to go through some of them with you now. I mean, some of them aren't so glamorous. Some of them are quite nice, like quite glamorous, actually, when I look back at them. But all of those kinds of jobs are the reasons that you can continue to travel. So you can, you know, make money and keep going and, you know, just experience working in a different country. Because that's the whole reason that you travel, is to experience the culture. And if you're working with people from that country, you learn a lot more than not working. And at the same time, you're able to save money and you're able to continue to travel as much as you want then after that. So when it comes to work visas, obviously, you know, you can't go and look for a job without having a proper work visa. Unless you're, I think, volunteering, there's some loopholes where you can actually, you know, do work trades and things like that. So if you're getting paid, you need to have a proper work visa. So I have had many work visas, actually. I made it my goal to use them all before I was too old. So if you're thinking of getting a work visa, definitely look into it, because there's an age limit when it comes to, you know, your nationality and which country you're getting your work visa for. So you need to actually have a look into that and go on different websites. The government websites are probably the most straightforward because they give you like the updated information and all of that. They can be a little bit complex, but generally you just put in work visa Australia and you're from Ireland, you'll be able to find a link. Otherwise, if you're from Ireland in particular, I'm going to speak for Ireland because I'm not too familiar with other companies around the world that would do work visas. So from my point of view, I've gotten a few visas through USIT in Dublin City. I think I had one or two from gohop.ie as well. And the rest I actually just did myself online. So I used a 1 year working visa for Australia. I did 3 months farm work over there and then got my second year work and holiday visa, which I didn't use straight away. I used it quite a number of years later, which was quite good because I had it in my back pocket. For Canada then, I was able to get a year working visa initially in 2010, and then randomly when I was in New Zealand, coincidentally on another work and holiday visa, I had an email that told me I was now eligible for a second working holiday visa for Canada, which is kind of unheard of. So at that point I was quite lucky because they had changed the rules. And it meant that I could now apply for this visa under a new program, which was allowing 2 extra years. So I was able to apply for the visa for 2 years. So I just mentioned there as well that I had a year visa for New Zealand. And then I would have had a year for Canada. And then I went back years later and had another 2 years. So I've definitely had plenty of opportunities to work, that's for sure. In between that, I was working in the Middle East, in Bahrain. That was just a temporary job in an Irish pub, very random. But yeah, apart from all those working visas, I've been working on cruise ships as well, which is a completely different visa, which you get through your job. So for that, you know, they give you all the information on how to get the visa, and it means that you can enter different countries on a ship. So it's a specific seaman's visa, and you need to have seaman's book as well, which is kind of like a second passport. So that's kind of how you get your you know, to be legal to work in a different country. So just make sure that you got that sorted before you start applying for jobs and things like that. So when I was in Australia, this was back in 2007, I was going to notice boards and I was going to, you know, obviously hand in my CV personally, like into the manager, which is, it's sad, you actually don't do that these days. You tend to just, you know, apply online and just see what happens from there. But I printed off CVs, I went around to different hotels and restaurants, and I got a couple of jobs waitressing and working in restaurants. So that's mainly what I did in Australia, apart from my farm work. When I was working on the farms, there are specific websites that you use, and you find out from other travellers which websites that you can find those jobs. Now, the jobs weren't so glamorous, but the pay was really, really good. So if you're in Australia and you're looking for a job that has, you know, really good money, and you just want to work hard for a couple of weeks or a couple of months and then move on, definitely do some farm work. I found that packing fruit was a lot easier than picking fruit. So if you want to do something a little bit less strenuous, then packing is definitely ideal. So I did things like picking eggplant, which I didn't last very long, to packing mandarins, which was actually fine. So packing mandarins, putting them in boxes, and yeah, doing that all day long, which was, it's actually fine. So there's many jobs in Australia where you can do lots of farm work, and there's obviously loads of cafes and restaurants, so you can definitely get lots of work in that kind of industry. If you've got experience, then of course they're going to hire you straight away. If not, I mean, there's always a place that will give you a chance. They gave me a chance anyway, and I didn't have any experience as a waitress. So let's see. Apart from that, I have used, you know, online forums, and I've used different websites. Like back in the day, I used to use Gumtree. I used to use Kijiji, which was a Canadian version of Gumtree. And I found jobs like that kind of online, and I would apply that way. Once I became qualified, like as a beauty therapist, massage therapist, I used to go onto different websites that were specific for that industry, which was quite, you know, easy, such as like beautifuljobs.com. They've got lots of jobs for that industry in particular, or spastaff.com, which is jobs for cruise ships or hotels abroad, you know, so like fancy hotels, Barbados, the Maldives, things like that. So there's definitely there's different websites for your skills, and then there's just general websites, like as I mentioned, Gumtree. You can look at any topic there, and you can look at any heading and find jobs that suit you. Apart from this, then I guess I would probably use other websites in terms of like yogatrade.com. So that for me helps because I'm a qualified yoga teacher. So not all the time do you get paid as a yoga teacher, which isn't ideal, but it does mean that you get food and accommodation paid for or included. So I've done that a couple of times. So if you're like a qualified yoga teacher, or you're even a massage therapist, or even like some jobs they advertise are for, you know, yoga reception, or like a yoga chef, or like vegan chef or yoga studio, that sort of thing. So I mean, it's not always just for yoga teachers, so I definitely have a look at that. There is a yearly membership. It's about, I think, $30 per year, something like that, but it's definitely worth it because you've access to jobs all over the world, and you can go on and, you know, they're regularly updated, and you can send messages and applications through the website. Years ago, I used to use goabroad.com or jobsabroad.com. There's also another one there. I don't know if people still use things like that, but back when I was first traveling, there wasn't really many options for jobs, but they were kind of good ways to kind of find out, you know, different jobs that you could do abroad, and what was available in different countries. So that was a really good option for me back in 2007 2008. So now I feel like, you know, it's 2020, we've got so many different portals to actually apply for jobs. It's amazing, like it's so good. So I mean, the things that I would have done over the years, it's kind of outdated now. You can probably do it a lot more easy in this day and age. So it makes me sound really old. But yeah, so I would definitely go on to different websites. For instance, in Ireland, we have like irishjobs.ie, or we have jobs.ie, which has jobs in Ireland. So if you go on to the country, you know, the website of the country that you're going to, and find a similar kind of website that has different jobs, then you can definitely find local jobs that way. Another good way is word of mouth. Like if you ask somebody if they know someone hiring, and they know your skills, maybe pass on like your resume, or your CV, and somebody might know of somebody hiring, and that's a good way of getting a job as well. There's a lot of good options if you want to work and travel at the same time. For instance, the cruise ships, cabin crew as well, and working on yachts, different things like that. They do require skills. Like, it depends on the job that you want to do. I mean, for me, I studied beauty therapy because I wanted to work on cruise ships. So I kind of knew that I would get a job on a cruise ship because I had the skills. Now, I didn't get the job initially because I had tattoos, which was really annoying. So I would say if you're going to work on a cruise ship, do not work for Steiner. Steiner are absolute, useless. Everyone knows that. So try and avoid Steiner. They are just like the worst company to work for. I worked for them for 2 contracts and then quickly realized they weren't for me. So there's definitely other companies that have, you know, gone their own way, and they've created their own spa kind of for their cruise ship, so they don't have to go through Steiner anymore. So for instance, go to Viking, go to Live Nordic. They're absolutely amazing. I did a couple of contracts with them, and they're Swedish. They're really so nice. They look after you so well. So if that's something you want to do, Live Nordic is the way to go. I would say as well, I mean, if you want to work on yachts, that's also a really, really good job. If you want to make a lot of money, travel around, particularly, you know, it's the Mediterranean, the south of France, the Caribbean, places like that. We definitely saw a lot of private yachts when we were kind of on the cruise ship over in the Caribbean. So, I mean, you get to see a lot of cool places. You do work hard, and generally do a mix of things. You would do housekeeping, you could do massage, you could do cooking. Like, it's a mix of everything because the crew is so small. So that's an option as well. You can also work in different hotels around the world. So there's lots of different chains, like the Marriott, Sheraton, lots of different ones that they have around the world, on beaches, like on islands. And once you work for one of them, then it's easy to get a job in another one. So try and, you know, have a look and get some research in just to see what you want to do. So let's see. Cabin crew. So, I mean, for cabin crew, I mean, they don't really have many kind of requirements. I mean, as long as you, I think, don't have tattoos, you speak English, and you're willing to kind of relocate as well, because a lot of the cabin crew, they have to live in the country that the airline is from. So if you're working for Emirates, you have to kind of be based in Dubai. If you work for Aer Lingus, you're based in Dublin. If you work for Air Canada, you're based like Toronto or Vancouver or something like that. So definitely be prepared to kind of move. If you want to, you know, move abroad and you want to live in a different city, then that could be really cool. The good thing about the Middle East is that it's tax-free. So if you want to work for Emirates or Etihad or Qatar, it's going to be tax-free. So you're definitely going to save a lot of money. And the same with the cruise ships. It's also tax-free because you're in international waters. So it's a really good way of saving money. Even if you're not like a beauty therapist or a fitness instructor or whatever, there's so many jobs you can do. You could work in housekeeping, you can work in the restaurant, in the bar, in the entertainment industry. I mean, there's lots of people who apply to be in the cast, and they get to perform their shows on cruise ships and travel around the world. So that's pretty amazing. There's the shore excursions team, so you get to actually go ashore and actually like go on the tours with the guests, so you get to experience the places that you are, which is really cool. So there's definitely a lot of options when it comes to cruise ships. It's not something you can really do forever, because you do get kind of cabin fever, and it's kind of hard to live in a cabin for so long. But if you want to save money and you want to see the world, it's definitely a good way to go. Another option would be to au pair. So I used to look on different websites, like au pair websites, nannying websites, where I could contact families and provide like references from previous childcare that I'd done. And then, you know, you can go to different countries and have free accommodation, because generally you could be a live-in au pair, you can live with a family, look after their kids. And you would generally go on holidays with them as well, so you'd look after the kids while they're away. So, I mean, there's lots of different options there. If you're, you know, if you have a background with childcare, you could do something like that. So what I do at the moment is I am working as a travel writer. So I've had my blog for, let's see, since 2013, so quite a while now. And I've done a lot of freelance blogging as well, and different articles for magazines and stuff like that. So I contacted lots of different websites and magazines and just wanted to see if I could kind of get some work as a freelance travel writer. It's quite a hard job to get because no one really wants to pay you for traveling around and just submitting one or two articles a week or whatever. So I was very lucky to actually get this this job that I have now. So at the moment I submit 4 articles a week, so it kind of ties me over money wise. It's not like a huge wage, but it's not something that like I want to work full time at anyways. I don't want to sit for 8 hours a day just writing. I want to enjoy my travels, but I want to have some income at the same time. So it's kind of, it's personal preference. If you want to have like a really big wage and you want to work full time, then you definitely have the option to do that. If you want to do something freelance, you can work a couple hours in the morning, you know, do whatever you need to do and have the rest of the day to yourself, but not have such a big wage. Depends on like your standard of living. Like if you really like to go out and spend a lot of money, you might want to have a job that can kind of give you that money to spend. Whereas, you know, if you are more of like a minimalist and you don't really go out that often, or you do but you do it on a budget, it might be fine to have a job where you can earn a little bit and it gets you by, that sort of thing. So it's kind of personal preference at the end of the day. So I'd kind of sit down, think about what you want and do a bit of research. And finishing on research, that's the key. That's definitely something I've learned over the years, is it's just something you really have to do. Do your research, make sure it's, you know, whatever job you're looking at is something you really want to do. You don't want to be that person that starts and quits, because I definitely was that person over the years, because I didn't really like many of the jobs I did. When it comes down to, you know, working as a yoga teacher, spa therapist, or like in travel, I love those sort of jobs. So I really like those sort of topics and, you know, that industry. So that was easier for me. But when I did like shorter jobs where I worked on the farms or worked in the restaurants, and I was just like, I hated it. I would just quit and move on. So do some research and try and find a job that you're going to really like. You might have to wait a little bit, but at the end of the day, it's definitely going to be worth it. So then you've definitely got money to move on. You've got money to travel a bit more. And yeah, I mean, that's the whole point, right? So you can work abroad, you can keep traveling. And at the end of the day, when you're working abroad, you're still on holidays, you're still abroad, so you don't feel like you're actually, you know, working. So it's quite nice to work somewhere else and not feel like you're working. So yeah, it's very different to working at home and saving up to travel, because you're already away, you're already traveling. You can travel on your days off and things like that as well. So one of the main jobs that allowed me to travel so much as well was Greenpeace. I was able to travel all over New Zealand with them as an outreach campaigner. So I was doing lots of protests, campaigns, and just going around and letting the public know about what was going on in New Zealand in terms of like environmental issues. So it was something really close to my heart at that point, and still is. And I was able to travel at the same time. So that was a really amazing job. I was able to do that for almost a year. So try and find something you're really passionate about, somewhere that you really like. And it's definitely about the people you work with as well. So if you're happy with the people you work with, the job you do and where you are, then you'll have no problem. So good luck.